Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our history unit for the month of March, and today we're going to talk about food in Japan. I know people here in Taiwan love Japanese food.
Yeah.
Japanese restaurants are all over the place, and lots of people, of course, travel to Japan and have the food there, and they just love it, and they come back with great stories. Oh, the food there is so tasty. I can't get enough of Japanese food. But you know something? We're going to find out today that maybe some of your favorite Japanese foods are actually Portuguese. Weird. Go figure that, huh?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. I don't know a lot about Portuguese food, so this will be interesting. I can see where they got the idea from based on what the Portuguese food is like, and then the Japanese food is real similar. Even some of the names they're calling these dishes sound similar. So we're going to read through day one. This is a two-day unit, actually, and learn a little bit more about the history of the Japanese food. Does it really have a connection with Portuguese food? Portuguese food is from Portugal, of course, so not everybody gets a chance to go to Portugal. I've never been, but we're going to talk about that. Their language is similar to Spanish, but it's different enough. My brother speaks Portuguese, and my little sister speaks really good Spanish, and they could communicate, but there were differences.
You know? Yeah, it goes one way or the other. Like if you speak Spanish, then a Portuguese speaker can understand you. But if someone who speaks Portuguese talks, then the Spanish speaker will have trouble understanding it.
I think that's true too. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But that's probably true for Chinese dialects as well. But that's another subject. Let's get to it here and talk about this question here. Are your favorite Japanese foods actually Portuguese? Let's read the entire article now from top to bottom. Japan is known for its unique cuisine, but like most countries, its food heritage is not without outside influences. One such influence came from the Portuguese in the 16th and 17th centuries. At that time, European traders were keen to establish direct intercontinental trade with Japan. At the same time, Japan was in a period of civil war and had an interest in Portuguese firearms. Seeking a mutually beneficial relationship, Portugal set up the sole trading post in Japan in the port town of Nagasaki. The arrival of Western goods and ideas exposed the country to new customs and commodities, inspiring some notable changes. Many of these are reflected in the dishes found on typical menus in the nation today. One of the most iconic ways Portugal inspired Japan's cuisine is with its peixinhos da horta, which served as the jumping-off point for Japan's world-renowned tempura. Many believe the Japanese name for this preparation originates from the Portuguese word temperar, meaning to season. Originally calling for green beans to be dipped in batter and fried, the European recipe was developed as a meal to be eaten during Lent. During this religious period, Catholics were prohibited from eating meat. The frying method thereby helped dress up their plain vegetable substitutions. When Portuguese traders introduced the dish to the Japanese in the mid-16th century, Japanese cooks modified the recipe. Their adaptation was characterized by a lighter batter, which was used to cover a variety of vegetables and fish. Today, Japan's trademark tempura features everything from shrimp to mushrooms to squash.
So let's take a look at the title. Are your favorite Japanese foods actually Portuguese? So we usually have countries' names and then the adjective is similar to that. Portugal is the country. Portuguese is the language and the people. You know, and anything that is describing something from Portugal can be Portuguese. Maybe you have some Portuguese furniture, or maybe you have a Portuguese doll. I'm just trying to think of some things that you might have. So, I don't know. Let's try to find the answer to this very interesting question. I wouldn't have thought that Japan and Portugal had anything in common. Turns out that they were trading partners long ago in history. So Japan is known for its unique or very special cuisine. I think Japan's cuisine is unlike any other country's. It's kind of fun that way. But like most countries, its food heritage is not without outside influences. I think all of our dishes in different cultures and countries, they've all been influenced by other people, other countries, other cultures. Sometimes we're just not aware of it. We've got a big mix in America, as you know. We've stolen culture from lots of other countries. Heritage, if someone asks you, hey, what's your heritage like? Where are your ancestors from? Where are you from originally? I would say I have a European heritage. I think my dad's family was from the Germany area, and my mom's was more Ireland and England. So that's my heritage. Heritage is just, you know, your culture, where it came from, your traditions, you know, not where you're living currently, but, you know, usually you're talking about your grandparents and great-grandparents and their culture heritage.
Yeah, Japan borrows all sorts of stuff. Of course, their writing system came from China, and I suppose there are some Chinese influences in their food as well.
Sure.
But, of course, Japan has been influenced by all sorts of countries, and as you know, Portugal was quite active out here in Asia. Of course, they sailed past Taiwan and said, oh, Isla Formosa, there's a beautiful island there. And they also set up a colony in Macau, which you guys call Aomen. But in any case, here we're talking about the influence of the Portuguese. So one such influence on Japanese food came from the Portuguese in the 16th and 17th centuries, which would be the 1500s and the 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, European traders were keen to establish direct intercontinental trade with Japan. Specifically, that would be from the continent of Europe to Asia, which would be Japan. So that would be direct intercontinental trade. Yeah, the European traders wanted to set up this relationship. Let's do business. Let's trade things and make some money together.
Right. I noticed here that our author used the verb keen. If you're keen to do something, you're really interested in it or you're attracted to it. So they were keen or very interested, excited to establish direct intercontinental trade with Japan. At the same time, was in a period of civil war. Civil war means one country is fighting within itself. So you've got two sides in one country and they're fighting each other. We had a civil war in America, as you know. The North and the South fought each other. The North won. So they were struggling because they were having in the middle of a civil war, which is hard. And they had an interest in Portuguese firearms. Now, I know that Portugal isn't a very strong or powerful country anymore, but back in history, they had an excellent navy. They were very good shipbuilders. And so if you could control the seas or you were able to explore, you tended to have much more power. So they were more powerful back then, just in case you're wondering, oh, why, you know, suddenly Portugal was so important. But they did have a lot more power back then. Firearms are a weapon. Typically, if someone says firearms to you, they're talking about types of guns. They may have included cannons, you know, the cannon that would shoot out a huge metal ball and kill people that way. Firearms. They didn't have great guns back then, you know, but as time went on, they got better and better.
Right. So there were different factions in Japan during the Civil War.
Different groups.
They wanted different kinds of firearms, guns, cannons, whatever. So seeking a mutually beneficial relationship, Portugal set up the sole trading post in Japan in the port town of Nagasaki, which, of course, is on the island of Kyushu. And Nagasaki was the second city in World War II to be bombed with a nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Although I think the bomb kind of missed its target, but still they killed a lot of people that way. But in any case here, they wanted to have this mutually beneficial relationship. So mutual just means between the two of us, for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you meet somebody, you might say, oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. You can say, the feeling is mutual. I have the same feeling that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is mutually beneficial. The Portuguese get something and the Japanese get something. It's a win-win situation.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. So both sides have some benefits in a win-win situation. Portugal set up the Seoul trading post in Japan. In the port town of Nagasaki, Seoul means only or one. I think it's Italian. Sole mio. Yeah, so I'm not sure, but Seoul here just means one or only. The arrival of Western goods and ideas exposed the country to new customs and commodities, inspiring some notable changes. It's always interesting when another culture comes to visit and what is exchanged during that visit. So we've got Western goods. We're talking about Europe, of course. America didn't exist until later in the 18th century. I guess we started moving there earlier. So new customs, new traditions that you could substitute that. Commodities are goods that usually are the most important goods a country has, like wheat or rice or even coffee. Copper, some metals can be commodities. You'll also see this word commodities if someone's talking about the stock market. Even today, they'll trade in future commodities. They'll kind of guess what the price of some of these commodities will be in, you know, the next month or the next 6 months. Commodities. And because they were exposed or, you know, were able to see different kinds of customs and different kinds of products, it inspired in the Japanese some notable changes. Notable means something you need to pay attention to. It's pretty important. It's something that you wouldn't miss. So notable, worthy of attention or notice, or notable could actually be substituted for remarkable.
Right. Significant changes happened as a result of that new contact with Portugal and other countries. And many of these are reflected in the dishes found on typical menus in the nation today. So we'll talk about some of those specific dishes on Japanese menus in just a second. But right now we're going to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们要看的是第14单元。我们要谈的是美食。如果您也是喜欢吃日本美食的人，会不会想到这可能不是真的日本美食哦？说它是来自于葡萄牙呢？好，我们就来看看这故事是怎么一回事。首先呢，我们知道，大家都知道日本它有独特的美食。不过呢，不管是哪一个国家，它吃的东西，它的食物多少有外来文化的影响。好，我们这边先注意几个片语。当你说以什么闻名 ，is known for。Japan is known for, 好 ,for 这个介系词就表示加特色，是以什么特色而闻名。后面他又说到了 ,its food heritage is not without outside influences, not without, 这个是一个双重否定。我们知道双重否定就是等于加倍的肯定，意思就是说它不是没有外来影响，它真的是有外来的影响哦。好，那我们接下来就来看看它这个外来影响跟葡萄牙有什么关系。这边就说到了16、17世纪的时候，在历史上这个时候呢，欧洲的商人他们都很想跟日本有直接来做贸易。这个时候日本刚好又有内战，所以说互相有需求，他们希望得到葡萄牙的枪支，而葡萄牙他们则希望跟日本人做生意，所以这样子一来一往之间，当时就在日本的长崎有一个交易站。也就是因为这样，日本呢他就接触到了这些外来的文化，讲的当然就是葡萄牙的，不管是习俗也好，货物也好。那我们这边要看第一个句构上，如果我们说看到一个句子哦，开头的地方是一个 ving， 那你就会想一想，诶，这是分词哦，为什么要有这个分词的结构？我们就看这一句 seeking a mutually beneficial relationship， 这个 seeking 是一个分词的构句，它在寻求这种双方得利的关系，互利的关系。然后它在日本长期成立交易站，省略连接词，直接用 ving 表示主动语态。接下来我们就来看，这里还有一个片语 expose， 当你说 expose, 本来是代表暴露，可是我们有时候谈文化的接触、语言的接触，当它的解释上代表接触的时候，我们可以用 expose 这个动词 ,expose A to B, 中文上就是让日本这个国家呢接触到后面说的新的习俗、新的货品。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right, let's resume our lesson here. And as promised, we're going to talk about some of the items on Japanese menus that were influenced by Portugal or other countries. Now, one of the most iconic ways Portugal inspired Japan's cuisine is with its peixinhos da horta. I hope I said that right. Portuguese is not my native tongue, but that is a dish. I guess it means like little fish from the garden or something
like that. Yeah, that's the translation, but what it is deep fried green beans. Green beans are sudsy though.
Mm-hmm. And we're describing this as an iconic way Portugal inspired Japan's cuisine. So iconic means it's a picture and you can see it. And in this particular case though, it means that it's significant. Mm-hmm. It's some way that you can really see clearly. Iconic does mean that it's something you can see clearly and it represents something. So this is probably the most representative way that Portugal inspired Japan's menus, and that is with this particular dish, peixinhos da horta, and that is served as the jumping off point for Japan's world-renowned tempura. And so that's kind of where this came from. Tempura owes its origin to this Portuguese dish.
Yeah, now, if something's renowned, it just means it's well-known or pretty famous for whatever it's famous for. Renowned, known about, talked about by people, it's famous. World-renowned is famous all over the world. I do enjoy tempura, I'll be honest. It's one of my favorite things because I like deep-fried foods, which is terrible. So many believe, at least, this is what's said. People say the Japanese name for this preparation comes from the Portuguese word temporar, and it means to season. So originally, this particular, was it peixinhos da horta or
Sounds
whatever?
Good, yeah.
It was deep fried green beans, but they've changed it since then. It originally called for the green beans to be dipped in batter. Batter is some sort of very liquid like dough. We use batter if we're making a cake or pancakes or waffles. It's kind of very thin. It's not a thick batter. It's thin. And then once you dip your vegetable or whatever you're dipping in your batter, you fry it, you deep fry it. And the European recipe was developed a long time ago as a meal to be eaten during Lent. Lent is a Christian period of time where people give up or sacrifice something. A lot of people for Lent, they'll say, oh, I'm not going to drink, you know, while Lent is ongoing, or I'm going to give up sugar, you know, during Lent. A lot of people find Lent difficult because they're sacrificing something they love. And so they came up with this particular way to produce or to cook vegetables that would make them tastier and more appealing, I think, to people who are going through Lent and sacrificing something they love to eat.
Yeah, a guy in my dorm gave up beer for Lent
yeah.
a long time ago when I was in college, and I had, you know, I'm not Catholic. I didn't know
me
what
either.
That was, so he had to explain it to me. Basically, it's a period of time before Easter.
Yeah.
I guess it lasts about a month or so.
Yeah, and
something
usually
like
you're sacrificing something or you're staying away from something or fasting. Yeah.
Right. So, of course, when Easter was passed, then he went back to drinking beer as always. So I thought that's kind of hypocritical.
Yeah, I have to say, just so our listeners know, Lent is 40 weekdays.
Okay, there you have it. You heard it from us.
It's a long time.
Lent. Again, it's a religious period. So during this religious period, Catholics were prohibited from eating meat. If you're prohibited from doing something, you can't do that thing. Somebody says, bushing, you can't do that. So it's the whole phrase here, to be prohibited from. People are prohibited from smoking in restaurants in Taiwan.
And notice that Tom is using the verb ing, right? Prohibited from verb ing something, okay?
Yep.
Prohibited from smoking, prohibited from talking, things like that.
So at that time, you could not eat meat if you were a Catholic. I think you can now.
Yeah.
But at that time, you were prohibited from eating meat.
Nowadays, you choose what you want to give up.
Yeah, or you listen to what the Pope says or something like that. But in any case here, the frying method thereby helped dress up their plain vegetable substitutions.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you can't eat meat, oh, food is so boring, we got to eat these boring vegetables. My goodness. So they developed this method to dress up their vegetable substitutions. Thereby, therefore, as a result, dressed up their substitutions. Dress up just kind of means make something pretty, of course. Hey, why are you all dressed up? Well, I got a really hot date tonight. I want to impress her. I'm dressed up. I'm wearing a suit and tie. But in this particular case, it just means that the vegetable substitution was made more interesting and it was more fun to eat as a result.
Now, substitution is our vocabulary word. It's when you take one thing and you replace it with something else that's similar, typically. Substitute is the verb form. I bet some of our listeners out there have had substitute teachers.
Mm.
I've had them. But a substitution is, again, replacing one thing with something else. When Portuguese traders introduced the dish to the Japanese in the mid-16th century, in the mid-1500s, that is, Japanese cooks changed the recipe or modified it a bit. To modify just means to change something. Not huge changes. It's, you know, little changes. They decided, well, we like that, but we think we could make it a little better. We think we could make it more appealing to the Japanese people if we changed it a little. For example, fast food restaurants here that are from America, like McDonald's, they have modified the menu to make it more appealing to the Taiwanese folks here. There are a lot of dishes here in Taiwan that you won't find in McDonald's in America.
And vice versa, of course, Chinese restaurants in the United States modify the dishes there.
True.
So if someone from Taiwan goes there, they'll think, what is this stuff? I'm not going to eat this stuff. It's been modified. It's been changed. It's not the real thing. It's not authentic. So anyway, I guess the Portuguese probably like their batter thicker and richer or something because they're from a place that's farther north.
Yeah.
So this is Asia. Things are different. So they modified the recipe. They changed it a little bit so that the batter would be lighter. And their adaptation, you know, their version of the change, was characterized by a lighter batter, which was used to cover a variety of vegetables and fish. So characterize, that's a verb here. That just means how you define something. What are the distinctive features of something? So yes, it was characterized. You could tell it apart from other kinds of food because it had a lighter batter and it would cover all sorts of things, different kinds of vegetables, fish. I think they put it on eggplant and shrimp and all sorts of stuff.
Lots of things.
Yeah.
I enjoy that lighter batter. Then again, I've never had the Portuguese batter. I don't know what their tempura tastes like, but I like the Japanese tempura a lot. So yeah, it's a lighter batter and it's used to cover more things than just, say, the green beans that the Portuguese started out with. I'm sure the Portuguese now have other things that they put that batter on and deep fry them. Today, Japan's trademark tempura features everything from shrimp to mushrooms to squash. Now, typically when we do this range of things, we just go from one thing to another, right? This one has three things, which is totally fine. I wouldn't go to four, though. Three is probably the maximum number of nouns you want to use here. So everything from shrimp to mushrooms to squash. Squash, of course, is vegetable. It can be the green squash or the yellow squash. I prefer the yellow butternut squash, which I can buy here, thank goodness. The green squash, we call that zucchini. And then shrimp, you guys know what that is. And mushrooms, there are lots of different kinds of mushrooms.
Indeed. So this is a range of food that they put this batter on.
Oh, we should talk about trademark.
Yeah, I was going to say trademark actually refers to to like a symbol or a word or something that represents a company, like the golden arches of McDonald's or the ASUS label, the way they write it. That's a trademark. But in this particular case, it just means a distinctive characteristic, a trait or something.
A feature.
A feature, exactly. Yeah. So that's what it means here. Japan's representative tempura, the tempura you see today, the trademark tempura, is featured in all kinds of food, from shrimp to mushrooms to squash. So there you have it. That brings us to the end of our explanation for today. Time now for our Chinese teacher.
我们继续来看，谈到日本美食竟然跟葡萄牙有关呢。这边就要告诉大家，的确是如此的。那有什么食物真的是跟葡萄牙有关，是受到葡萄牙文化的影响呢？第一个就是大家都熟悉的天妇罗。提到天妇罗，当然我们就用这个来当作第一个例子。看到了吗？这边有一个豆点，这个食物的名称后面豆点 which served as the jumping off point for Japan's world renowned tempura， 这个专有名词后头你要接着修饰它，补充说明用的，这样的关系子句一定是非限定用法，换句话说，豆点是必然的，它是一个开端起点，也是当第一个例子来说 jumping off point， 我们知道 jump off 当然就是代表起跳，所以也可以说它就是一个起跳点，是我们一开始的这一点作为第一个例子。那我们再来看看后面说，哦，原来天妇罗这个字还真的是从葡萄牙 T-E-M-P-E-R-A-R 这个字来的，而这个葡萄牙字它的原意呢是 to season， 我们知道 season 当动词代表调味，所以它其实是代表调味的意思。不过以前呢，信仰天主教这些人他们在一段宗教期间的时候是禁止吃肉类，提到禁止，你要禁止谁不做什么事，介系词是什么呢？ from prohibit 这个动词后面加 from 是介系词，所以后面一定是 ving 或者是一个名词，禁止做某事 from eating meat 一定是 ving， 后面就告诉大家没错的，葡萄牙他们把这个食物传进了日本，而且呢现在日本他们还改造了葡萄牙这个美食，让它用更轻薄的面糊，然后呢用来包装其他更多种类的蔬菜。最后提醒大家注意到 which was used to， 提到说他用比较轻薄的面糊 batter， 然后呢被用来，我们提到 beused to， 当然发音上这是一个动词的发音，这个 to 是代表不定词的 to， 被用来，千万不要跟习惯于 be used to 然后加名词那个习惯于的解释不要混在一起。我们今天讲解就到这边结束，谢谢您的聆听。
That's all for today. Thanks for joining us, but join us again next time and we'll continue talking about how Portuguese food influenced Japanese food. Mm-hmm. Please join us then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
See ya.